Tired of complex and high credit card processing fees? It's time to simplify. Whether you own a big business or a small startup, Empower Payments can save you money. Streamline your payment process while saving money today with Empower Payments. Learn more at EmpowerPayments.com. That's EmpowerPayments.com.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We have Rustin Dodd from The Athletic in studio. We find out this week that Rustin Dodd is very athletic because Spectrum Sports KC tweeted out, Rustin Dodd of The Athletic KC has some serious writing skills. He also had high school athletic skills as showcased here, and there is a like a highlight reel worthy of a damn Hall of Famer. I mean, I don't what Rustin, tell us all about your high school sports exploits on the baseball field, basketball court. I mean, what the hell's going on here?
I played two sports, Steven, two.
A two-sport star.
Yeah, I don't know about that. Maybe kind of a two-sport average performer.
What were you better at, basketball or... you hit a three-pointer, Rustin Dodd! and then you're hopping up, getting ready to play defense. Looks like you're getting ready to talk some trash in someone's grill. I like it. What was your sport? What was your better sport, baseball or basketball?
I was probably slightly better at baseball just because I'm kind of challenged in the height department a little bit.
What was your career high as far as points scored in a game?
In basketball?
Mm-hmm.
In high school?
Mm-hmm.
I think it was 15.
He dropped 15 points on someone.
I mean, I don't think
jerk.
It was like...
He dropped 15 points on someone.
Not a lot.
Career high was 11.
Who was that against? Do you remember? What school? You tormented with 15 points?
Well, I'm kind of embarrassed that I do remember, but...
Oh, don't be.
I think it was Olathe Northwest.
Yeah. Jake, comment on this. Come on now.
Olathe Northwest didn't even exist when I was in high school.
Wow.
I'm not that much older.
What was that supposed to be?
I don't know.
See, I can remember. I went for 11 twice.
how do you guys remember this?
I went for 11 twice, and both of them were on the road. One was at Bonner Springs High School.
Ooh.
And the other, this is the one I remember more specifically, was on Terry Nooner. And he was not at Raytown yet. He was at Lincoln Prep. And the reason I remember that is because Terry Nooner then, a couple decades later, was an assistant coach for the KU women's basketball team. And we started talking about how we had played high school same time. He was a year or two younger than me. And he had every box score from his high school career his mom had cut out and put in a scrapbook. And he found the box score of when we played against each other and cut it out and sent it to me. And it's like, hey, look, dude. And I was like, yeah, dude, I went for 11 on you.
Boom.
Which, by the way, that's I went for 11. Like, that's not really a thing.
Right.
You went for 30. You didn't go for 11.
Yeah,
you know?
You had 11.
Yes. I scored 11.
Right.
Did your mom cut out all your box scores, Rustin? Is that, no?
Yeah.
She did?
She was that type of mom, I think. Yeah, sure.
Does she still have them?
I'm sure they're somewhere.
Well, I'd like to get my hands on them.
Dude, I have an awesome scrapbook my mom put together. Like, for my senior year, I didn't know she did this. She, went to a scrapbooking class, and then, I graduated. She had two scrapbooks put together that she spent 4 years. I never saw her do it. That she put together, and they're pretty cool. I should bring them in sometime.
Back when I was in high school, the Kansas City Kansan. Remember that newspaper was still a thing, mm-hmm. and they would actually get game quotes from us and stuff like that. And I remember my dad used to cut those out, but I don't know where those.
Oh, the OP Sun.
The Overland Park Sun. Yes.
I wrote for the Sun.
Did you?
Right before I started here, I was a stringer. I wrote for
right here
some high school.
Is that where you broke that murder mystery story?
No, that was at the Journal Herald.
Oh,
where I wrote
Inside Investigation. Or what
where
was
I
that?
Wrote about an 18-year-old mystery, and I got some exclusive quotes, and I was featured on the television show Hard Copy.
Hard Copy.
So where and you'd appreciate this, and so you know the shot that they always show, like we spoke with local reporter Stephen St. John, and they show like walking out of the building, like down the street, like where am I going? That's where I work. Like why am I leaving? But that's what they show us. But I had jeans, belt, and denim shirt.
Yeah.
Wow. All together.
Way before you thought it. Yeah. Thought about
Tennessee
it,
tuxedo. I'm
like 1995 or something.
Yeah, absolutely.
How old were you?
I'm feeling good.
Nine.
I'm strutting down Johnson Drive.
I'm thinking that he might have been watching Hard Copy as a 9-year-old.
Hey.
And said, you know what? That's Stephen St. John. I like his style. I'm going to copy that.
Like my senior year, there was no scrapbook. There was just nothing. All we did was We put some like of my favorite pictures in a photo album, and the one thing that wasn't a picture in there was like, what do you call it? Like, not a citation, but I got in trouble. I got fined, and it was for and it says what it was for at school: indecent exposure. $25, and I had to pay it, or I didn't get my diploma. And so that essentially was my senior scrapbook that my mom put together. I didn't have a whole lot to offer up for any type of scrapbook. But you know what? I feel like that was something.
I want to find out about the citation.
You know, it was a.
Were you Porky Pigging it?
Well, it was a senior mooning that perhaps might have accidentally turned into a snaking.
Maybe. Maybe we pulled up in the back of someone's pickup truck to moon all the classes, and maybe someone pulled off in the truck before hit our set and fell over, and so then they got the front and the back. So,
no thanks. Now I see why you got fined.
That wasn't a great conversation with my mom. Stephen, why?
How many times did your mom ask that question?
A lot. That was I should have had a T-shirt.
How many times?
I don't know.
Daily,
right? Rustin Dodd, are you uncomfortable yet?
No.
Welcome to the show.
What position did you play in baseball again?
I was kind of a second baseman type.
Kind of Whit Merrifield type.
A little bit of a,
play anywhere.
Could play a little bit of third, I guess.
See, there you go.
I feel like our high school athletic careers mirrored one another very similarly here. How do you feel about that, Rustin?
Let's move on.
Well, I mean, I feel like short white guys usually play second base and guard. So
yeah,
that's kinda...
yeah, there's not a lot of options. They're not putting us down at power forward or at catcher, are they?
No.
Both positions I played.
And so, Rustin, earlier, I...
still do.
Yep.
And I'm not trying to kiss ass here, but I earlier said, hey, when Mike Boddicker was here, that here's another reason why you should subscribe to the Athletics. I'm very happy with my subscription. I always read your stuff. But with Randy Gisarelli now part of the baseball coverage and the Royals coverage, it's even another reason. And I did that because we were talking about his recent article that I thought was fascinating about Adalberto Mondesi and why it's not time to give up on him. And he goes through the youngest players that ever debuted with the Royals, and he made a really interesting list, a comparison of guys that had come up by the age of 20, struggled for at least 100 plate appearances, but then later on became either great or at least good major league players. And it's pretty extensive, and it's a reminder of how young he is, because Brad Keller's youngest player on the major league roster by 3 years. He's the same age as Brad Keller, and Rainey gave the example of Nicky Lopez, a hot prospect everyone's talking about at Double A as the future of the Royals middle infield. He's 4 months older than Raul Mondesi. We've just known about Mondesi longer, and so I wondered, we kind of haven't talked about him for a while. Where are they at with Mondesi? What do you think the Royals' mindset is on Mondesi? And how they feel about him is the shine off of him, or are they basically doing what Rainey says, just being patient and remembering that he's only 22 years old at AAA, and he's still got a whole bunch of great things hopefully ahead of him.
Yeah, well, I mean, I thought it was a great piece, and the two numbers you brought out about his age were the two things that caught my eye as I was reading it. I think the Royals, though. Rainey alluded to this a little bit in the story, but I think the Royals are most concerned about his durability and his ability to stay healthy, and he just really hasn't done that. He's had a lot of back issues. He had a shoulder issue during spring training, which delayed the start of his season. And, you know, the Royals have said, kind of privately, somewhat publicly, a little bit of both, that, you know, if we believe that Raul Mondesi, or I guess we should maybe call him Adalberto Mondesi, as he's going by now, if we believe that he could play 150 games, you know, we wouldn't have re-signed Alcides Escobar. But they don't really have that that faith in Mondesi that he can stay healthy right now. And he's actually been banged up at Omaha the last week. I'm not exactly sure what it's been. I think it's been day to day with some nagging thing that's not that serious. But it's little things like that. He's got to obviously perform at Omaha, but more importantly than anything, he's got to stay healthy. And I think. Once he does that, and once they trust his body a little bit more, I think you'll see him back in Kansas City.
And I do think it's interesting, also, like the Brad Keller part of it. I mean, he wouldn't even be in the big leagues, as Randy points out, if he hadn't been a Rule 5 pick and the Royals traded cash for him. But here he is, and he's been one of the best relievers. And I was excited Well, I don't want to say I was excited because Ian Kennedy was getting hammered when you sent the tweet out, but I was excited when you tweeted out that he was up in the bullpen warming up and maybe suggesting the Royals were looking to stretch him out and give him eventually a crack at the rotation, because I've been wanting that to happen. I've seen enough of him. I think that, you know, down the road he could be a starting pitcher. So where are they at with this? You said that maybe Ned's hinted at that, and that could be a possibility?
I think it's actually getting pretty close. They've been discussing this, and they're talking about it. I asked Ned Yost on Sunday, which was in Cleveland, which was the day after Brad Keller went three innings. Or is it 2 days? Saturday or Sunday? The day after Brad Keller went three innings against the Indians and kind of looked really impressive, I asked Ned, hey, you see that and think, hey, you could be a starting pitcher. And he's like, well, we've been talking about this for weeks, actually. You know, this is something we've been discussing. We view him as sort of a starting pitcher long term. When's that going to be? I don't know. Yesterday, we were talking about Brad Keller again a little bit before the game, randomly came up. We were talking about their back end of their bullpen. Almost, you know, without even prompting Ned Yost, he mentioned, hey, well, you know, this guy's a starting pitcher who just happens to be relieving right now. And I don't know when it's going to be. Obviously, they've got some guys struggling in the rotation, but everybody's healthy for the most part. So I just think the next time they need a starting pitcher, or if they see an opportunity, I think it's if the way Ned Yost has been talking about it and being open about it suggests to me that it's pretty close.
That's good news.
So that outing was Friday, three innings, 43 pitches. So I guess if they wanted to get him back out there, try to stretch him up to four innings, 50-some pitches as a reliever. And then after that, I mean, you can throw him in as a starter for, you know, try to get him five innings out of him or something like that the first time out, right?
Yeah. I mean, I'm actually working on a story on Brad Keller, and I've been talking to a lot of guys in the bullpen, a lot of the guys on the pitching staff about his stuff. And, you know, you don't want to overhype a kid who's 22, Rule 5 pick, who's been in the big leagues for a month and a half, but these guys really do kind of gush about his stuff. You know, he's got a 96 mile an hour cutter, which he doesn't even really mean to cut it. It's just kind of his natural arm motion. His four seam fastball just cuts. He's got a good slider. He's got a decent changeup, and he can also sink a fastball, which is rare that a guy can do both things he can cut it and sink it. And if you just talk to some of these veteran relievers, they're like, how did the Arizona Diamondbacks ever let this guy go? His stuff is sick, you know? And so I was looking yesterday. He's only got 8 strikeouts in about 14 innings. So at times he's been really impressive. It's not like he's just overpowering and manhandling guys out of the bullpen right now. So the strikeout rate would be something I would keep an eye on, especially if he goes back into the rotation, which he did in the Diamondbacks organization. But from a pure, like, you know, we use the term arm talent, you know, in football with like Pat Mahomes. You know, from an arm talent perspective, you know, Brad Keller's got, he's got elite arm talent. Now, I don't know if he can translate in that into a starting role, but, you know, Brian Flynn dropped the name Wade Davis, and Flynn was like, okay, put this in context, because I'm obviously comparing him to Wade Davis, and that's kind of silly. But his point was, you know, Wade Davis had 3 pitches out of the bullpen, 3 or 4 dominant pitches, which most relievers don't have. And at times, Brad Keller, if you count his cutter, his slider, and his changeup, he's got the kind of stuff where he can kind of toy with guys. You know, and he could throw 3 straight sinkers, he could throw 3 straight cutters, he could throw 3 straight sliders. It doesn't matter. Guys just, they can't hit him. And his point was, you know, it is like watching a starting pitcher work in relief. So we'll see. I mean, I think we should maybe temper expectations just a little bit. You know, I think when a team is doing as poorly as the Royals are, you tend to grab a hold of the bright spots and maybe inflate them a little bit. But he's pretty impressive.
And one of the main points of Randy's column was you need to pay attention to the age of prospects. And that's one of the reasons why I'm so excited about Keller. He's only 22 years old.
Almost the exact same age, born same month as Raul Mondesi.
Same day. I think they have the same birthday.
Is that right?
Yeah. And that's why I'm so excited about Mondesi. But then why maybe some of us aren't quite as excited as maybe others at the arrival of Hunter Dozier, because he's 26. Now, look, Whit Merrifield has proven that there's no age requirement as far as coming up, and, and being an impact player and finally making it to the major leagues. But now with Lucas Duda on the DL, here comes Hunter Dozier. What do you expect? What are the Royals still thinking about Hunter Dozier? He's going to be 27, and he's still trying to find his way. And as Nate's pointed out, it's not like he was tearing it up at AAA, you know, and he didn't force this promotion. He's up here because Duda got hurt. So is he even still a prospect? Hunter Dozier?
It's hard to say. I mean, the two things in my mind with him are where does he play? He's obviously playing first base the last two nights. Ned Yost even said the other night that they might play Cuthbert a little bit more at first with Duda out, and he said they'll kind of go day-to-day with Dozier. He can play corner outfield spot. He can play third base. You know, hey, maybe they'll have an opening at third base, you know, in a month or two, you know.
Rustin?
With the trade deadline. I mean, it's coming up. So maybe there's an opportunity for him there. But, you know, where does he play and can he hit? And if he can hit, then I guess you can find a spot for him somewhere. But like you said, I kind of put him in that sort of Cuthbert. Jorge Soler has kind of graduated out of it, but that kind of Cuthbert, Bonifacio, maybe even throw Mondesi in that list of guys. Maybe Mondesi's a little bit too young to be in it, but kind of those fringe prospects in their mid-20s, if you project it out, maybe they're part of the Royals' future, but they're not, you know, they're not cornerstone pieces. They got to almost prove to the organization that they can be a supplemental piece moving forward when they do bring up, you know, some of their better prospects, or when they do get kind of a true youth movement going at the major league level. So I feel like Dozier is kind of in that category of having to prove that he can be part of something going forward.
Yeah, I want to go back to Keller for a second, just because you mentioned the age thing and how, like, because it does. Like, how does a guy that age get to the point where he's not on a roster and he can be exposed to the Rule 5 draft? And his numbers, you mentioned the strikeout per nine innings. That is, he does not, for a guy that throws with his velocity, you know, his ERA was 4.68 in AA last year. He struck out 111 batters in 130 innings. His career strikeout per nine innings is around 7. So he just doesn't look like he's been able to harness that power into the swing and miss stuff that you would see. But is that something that they think can develop as he starts to figure out what he's throwing?
I think so. I mean, the stuff is there. And you mentioned age, and this it kind of all goes back to age. So when he would have been drafted out of high school out of Georgia, he would have been 17. He would have been drafted in June and then turned 18 in July. So he's young for his grade. Mm-hmm. So the performance wasn't there in the minor leagues. 4 years later, that's when the decision has to come down. Okay, we got to put this guy on our 40-man roster now, or we got to, expose him to the Rule 5 draft. And I think because the performance hadn't been there, and maybe the Diamondbacks thought, hey, you know, the strikeout rate's not there, the performance isn't there, we can slide him through. We'll hold on to him.
Yeah.
Obviously, the Royals had scouted him and saw the stuff. And so I think it's kind of fascinating. It all goes back to the age, that maybe that he was young, a young player for most levels, and now he's finally kind of harnessing.
We've got Rustin Dodd from The Athletic in studio. Back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you very much for joining us. Royals lose last night to Tampa 6-5 after a rough first inning. At least Ian Kennedy settled down enough to give the Royals some innings. But Kelvin Herrera gives up the game-winning run, and the Royals do 6-5. They have lost the series. They will be back at it this afternoon, a businessman special out at Kauffman Stadium. And then, of course, the Yankees will be coming to town, and hopefully that won't be too ugly. But the Royals have only won one series so far, Rustin, and every time we look at the schedule and think, okay, this would be a good matchup for the Royals, we forget that other teams are looking at the schedule and thinking it's a good matchup for them. But today, Jason Hamill goes on the mound, 0-4, 6.13. He is another starting pitcher that's really struggling right now after a pretty good start.
Yes. I think he is third worst in the ERA in the American League at this moment. Do you know who is second?
Well, I would venture
Danny
to say
Duffy.
Right. Duffy. There's three starting pitchers. Skoglund's getting better, though, but he was in the sixes for a while. I mean, it's pick your poison there.
Well, Ian Kennedy's creeping toward the sixes. He's at like 4.98, I think, now.
Okay, so when you look at this rotation, we talked about Brad Keller maybe eventually forcing his way into the rotation. As long as he's not on the DL, Duffy's not going anywhere in the rotation. I wouldn't think Ian Kennedy is. Junis and Skoglund are young starting pitchers are trying to develop.
It's a good question.
What about Hamill? But I mean, Hamill's going to be a free agent.
Yeah.
And the only reason to keep him in the rotation is to build trade value. But if he's not doing that and he's not helping you win games, there's no reason to stick with him. If you think Keller can be a nice addition and you start to develop him and start to develop him for the future, that would be maybe the one spot.
Yeah, I think that's probably a right reading of the situation. I think Hamill could be a guy that you stick in the bullpen as kind of a Chris Young swingman type. If you're looking for either a spark in the rotation or you're looking for a space to get somebody in there, it's an odd situation because you got Ian Kennedy who will show you some things. He'll give you a couple of good starts in a row, and then you go back to being bad Ian Kennedy. And that's not a very astute analysis, but he's signed for two more years after this one.
You got to try to make it work.
Yeah, you really do.
And Hamill's not.
And I think, you know, if you were the Royals, and I don't think they would say this publicly, but if Ian Kennedy would have had just a terrific first half, I think he's a guy you could have dangled at the trade deadline. And maybe you had to eat some cash. Maybe you didn't get a ton of value back because of his contract. But the flexibility that would afford you to get out from underneath that contract for the next two seasons, I think, would be something that they would be really interested in. But obviously, he started pretty well, but he's not been performing right now. And I don't think if his ERA is anywhere over, you know, four or even creeping to five, I don't really think that is an option unless you're just going strict salary dump. And that doesn't really seem like it'd be possible.
How soon do we think the trades will start coming for the Royals?
I don't know. People ask me this, you know, like, why don't you trade Mike Moustakas now?
Yeah.
It's like, well, you know, who's out there searching for third base help? The markets haven't really developed at this point. And I think, you know, you think, especially with pending free agents, you think, well, isn't trading, you know, 4 or 5 months of Kelvin Herrera better than trading 3 months of him? And potentially, but, you know, if you wait, you know, and the market builds and there's three or four teams that are contending and they see an option to add a arm at the back of their bullpen and the bidding goes up a little bit, maybe it makes sense to wait. So we're still in May. Even as you get in, the trade deadline is so far away. Sometimes it kind of tricks you a little bit when it is. Even when you get to June, you've still got, you know, about 8 weeks. So, I wouldn't really expect anything to happen until the latter stages of June, but, you know, we'll see.
Jose Bautista's hitting 156 as the third baseman for the
playing well, yeah.
Braves, and they're
in
first place.
He's hit two home runs this week. He had a game-winning three-run homer the other day. This week. Not that I pay
Joey
attention
Wentz.
To that for rotisserie baseball purposes.
But I'll go back to he's batting 156.
Yep.
And he doesn't play good defense at third.
Now, the problem is their hot prospect, Austin Riley, the third base prospect in the Braves system, they thought might not be ready. Look at his numbers. I think he's ready. And so now, you know what I mean?
True, like, but I mean, if you can extend his service time,
exactly.
And you're only getting Moustakas for the rest of the year at a very
yep.
cheap rate, especially if you feel like you can get into the playoffs, he adds you some veteran leadership. That could still make sense.
Right. And
yeah,
see, like,
sure.
I've always thought the Yankees would make sense, but then Miguel Andujar comes up when Brandon Drury goes on the DL with migraines, and so now Drury is healthy, and he got sent to the minors, and they traded for him. And so you're starting, you are starting to see more contending teams go with their young guys. And, you know, like Andujar wasn't supposed to be up and ready this year, and maybe Austin Riley comes up. It's just, those are the two top contenders I've thought until these two things happen would be the Yankees and the Braves. And for the Braves, I mean, I'm with you. Why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you grab Moustakas? Why wouldn't you, I don't know, grab Herrera too? Their manager's talking about now three different guys getting cracks at saves, and so they got maybe more now. This guy, I know, has been okay, but more of a bullpen by committee, so Herrera might work there as well. The other thing is interesting now, so the Diamondbacks, A.J. Pollock, who's been one of the best hitters in baseball now, an avulsion fracture in his thumb. He's going to be out maybe a couple of months. So things are happening. Injuries will dictate if the trade market gets started a little bit earlier than we anticipate. But speaking of injuries, have you ever displaced a rib? I've misplaced ribs, like after I come home from a delicious lunch and I can't find them, and I find out my son has eaten them, which is terrible. It makes me very angry. But I've never displaced a rib like Jorge Soler did. That sounds awful, and they popped it back in.
What the hell's going on?
That doesn't sound real to me.
I was unclear of what this happened. This was like a game of telephone with an injury, which it comes from the trainer to the manager to the media. And sometimes I feel like we're not doing fans a service on explaining what happened. But apparently
Nate doesn't believe it.
It was in his lower back, kind of that area where a rib just sort of popped out of place momentarily.
The back floating rib?
Yeah, something like that. And then it popped back into place, but it caused some back spasms.
Looking to getting that one removed.
It's not the same thing. Stop it. Don't listen to him.
I guess I don't understand how a rib pops out of place.
They're attached to muscle back there.
Right.
And there's
cartilage in between.
Yeah, there's lots of stuff going on by there.
You're skeptical. Do you think that's what it sounds?
I mean, a rib isn't a joint. It's not like it's attached to your.
Who popped it back in? Who do they say popped it back in place?
Well, I think he did. I don't know. It might have just popped back into place right away, and then he had some spasms. I think he did see a chiropractor.
So, but he's supposed to be back in the lineup.
We'll see. Shortly. But yeah, they hinted that he was 80% better yesterday, and that he could play today. Okay. So sometimes when you hear displaced things,
I think it's when it pops out of the cartilage, because I think there's some serious cartilage in between each rib, and I think it pops out of the cartilage.
Nace is shaking his head.
I'm not buying this. I don't think it's a real thing.
So then, what do you
hold on. You don't think displacing a rib is a real thing?
I don't.
How do you think it's not a real thing?
Then what do you think happened?
Said it was.
Like, what are you saying then?
So who said it was? A chiropractor?
Rustin said it. Well, I mean, the Royals.
Rustin is being told that.
Right,
he's not,
by the Royals.
He's not claiming that he has some expert
so you're saying
inside
the Royals are making up this.
Are you
rib?
Saying as a fact that he's just placed a rib?
Did you Google it yet?
He reports everything that he gives. He has to go there and see it.
I haven't seen the x-ray, but.
Have you given any Royals players examinations this year? No. You're just told and you report it. So don't shoot the messenger. Over here,
Slipping rib syndrome occurs when the cartilage on a person's lower rib.
What are you reading from?
I'm reading from healthline.com.
What is that? What the hell is that?
Oh, Jesus, dude. Come on.
Do you think they're hiding something?
Come on.
No, honestly,
okay, let's find another source.
Who does healthline.com? Is that like the Mayo Clinic?
Please. This is what I go to, Rustin. So, but what
healthline.com?
But what do you think? They're first. Give me the motive. What do you think they're hiding? Why would they? Well,
if it's WebMD, is it okay? If I find something on WebMD, is that all right? Is
so
that acceptable?
Why would they say this?
Okay,
they
have
something
on WebMD.
Worse? Or they? Are you saying he's not
I
hurt? Like,
don't
what do you
know? I don't know what it is. It sounds like a little bit of a you got misplaced.
He misplaced a rib. Hey, yeah, so Soler can't find his rib.
Wait a minute. Hold on here. Okay, so what about Lucas Duda?
All of a sudden, there's silence from Jake because apparently there's nothing on WebMD about misplaced ribs.
Research. We'll get back to him.
So, misplaced ribs.
Lucas Duda, plantar fasciitis. So he stepped out of the batter's box and he thought that he stepped on a bat. Is that what's going on?
This is another game of telephone where I was a little unclear what happened. Apparently, the fasci or the whatever the plantar. Kind of either tore or released. Ew. Have you ever had plantar fasciitis?
No, but I know people that have had it say it's unbelievably painful.
Yeah, so
Lebo has it.
So Lucas Duda's had this since basically spring training. He's been playing on it, but the way he stepped, it tore the plantar or the I don't know. I'm not a doctor. But
you should be, I think.
Have you been on healthline.net
so,
or whatever?
Because of when he did that, there was some... some pain and some fluid, and it could take 5 to 6 days to get it clear out. It could take 2 weeks. Who knows? I don't know.
So by the way, Jake clearly cannot find anything about displaced ribs on WebMD.
No, I'm on the phone because everybody's calling to say, tell Nate to shut up because he doesn't know he's talking
about. Who said that? Give me some names. Put him on.
Nathan.
Put Nathan on. If Nathan's going to call this show,
it's called a subluxation, Nate. A subluxation.
Can we talk to Nathan? It sounds like he knows who.
You need to Google supplication.
Come on. Hold on.
I'm going to put you on the air. Hold on.
Let's see. Go ahead. Who is this, Nathan. Sir? Who is this, please? Nathan?
Yeah.
Nathan, can you tell us what's going on, please?
Well, I think, from a guy who's had chiropractic care for the better part of 10 years, the term when I've heard of this place is called subluxation. So if you're going to look up or Google something, look up subluxation, and it'll give you a good definition of what's going on here. It's basically, just kind of like when you pop your knuckles, your knuckles kind of feel stiff and in that place. So when you crack your knuckles, they kind of feel looser and a little better. It increases the circulation and the comfort level.
Nathan?
Yeah.
Talk to Nate. Nate, talk to Nathan.
Hey, thanks, Nathan.
That's all.
Hey, I can barely hear you, but I'm going to go ahead and try and line you out from a guy who's had chiropractic care for the last 10 years.
All right.
When you pop out a rib, it's called a subluxation. Great. So if you want to get a good definition of what that is, Google subluxation and it'll give you a better definition of it.
Nathan, is it Diani or Laurel? Could you please give us your input on this? What are your thoughts on this?
Diani
or Laurel?
Right.
Laurel.
I'll go with Laurel.
Okay, it is Laurel. Thank you very much.
Okay, this man
time.
Knows what he's talking Thank about. All right.
Rustin?
Nothing
Rustin,
comes
Laurel
up
or Yanni?
On WebMD for subluxation of a rib.
I think Nathan was convincing to me.
What about this right here? Is this convincing?
Laurel.
That's all I needed to hear.
I miss this bit of internet
Good for you.
Entertainment. So I'm,
you should.
I'm not
so basically
sure.
It's like the dress. You remember the dress was blue
it was
gold,
white,
or white,
white and gold or blue and black.
So supposedly you play this and some people hear Yanni. Some people hear Laurel. I didn't believe it, so
Laurel.
I played it for my wife.
So
clearly they're saying Yanni. I said, what
Laurel.
Are you talking about? They're saying Laurel.
Laurel.
And Jake said he heard it one
Laurel.
Time and it was Yanni. I don't know what's going on. I'm just here telling you what's going on Twitter. So do you hear Laurel or do you hear Yanni when we play that, Rustin?
I think I heard Laurel. But
Laurel.
Would you write a column on that by any chance?
Maybe.
When is your column on Marlins Man going to be ready?
Hey, if people will subscribe, I'll take him down.
Well, I'm a subscriber, so I feel like I'd like to have some input here, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you value me. No?
He was there last night causing a little bit of a ruckus.
What do you mean? What happened?
Well,
when you say ruckus, that's a strong word. So yeah. What happened?
Well, as we came down to do the post-game interview with Ned Yost, mm-hmm. Marlins man who I didn't realize was at the game,
right.
He was trying to get on the elevator to go back upstairs. And then he was told that he could not go on the elevator. And they said, it's only for family and press
right
now. And he said, since when? And the very nice attendant named Greg said, well, since pretty much forever. And then...
Shout out to Greg, by the way.
So, and then we went... I didn't really want to get into it publicly with Marlins Man, but I did... I just kind of found it funny. Had to stick up for my guy, Greg. So
right.
I tweeted about the incident.
Hey.
It wasn't very serious. But I did have one Royals player who, after he saw my tweet, and when I went into the clubhouse about 10 minutes later, called over to me and said, hey, was that real? And I said, yes. And he just shook his head.
Here's the deal.
So they were following you on Twitter and saw your tweet?
Yes.
That's Here's what cool. Greg is doing. He's doing his job. That's what Greg is doing.
Good job, Greg.
Congratulations, Greg. You're now a fan favorite as far as I'm concerned.
Tip of the hat from the Border Patrol, Greg.
Job well done, sir.
Absolutely. Rustin, what else? You said you're working on Brad Keller story. What else are you working on? Can you tell us anything?
Yeah, I've got a story on, hopefully it'll be done by the end of the week, on, remember Brian Brickhouse?
Sure.
Remember that name? He was like a second or third round pick in 2011, same Bubba Starling draft. He retired last year because he had so much arm trouble. And then he actually retired, went into the real estate industry for about 3 or 4 months, decided he wanted to give baseball one more try, started doing yoga, started doing all these different ways to get his body into shape, went to an arm guru guy. All of a sudden, he's in single-A Wilmington, throwing about 98, 99 miles per hour. He's back.
End up with a bullpen with Jason Adams.
Yeah, you might. So I was in Wilmington briefly last week, wrote a story on Khalil Lee, their top prospect.
Oh, I know you did.
And I'm going to write about Brickhouse later this week, too. Interesting story. And there's more stuff coming, too.
Give me just a couple of sentences before we break about how wonderful Khalil Lee is.
He's impressive. You know, I mean, he's not a really big kid. He's only 5'11", like 180. He kind of reminds me of, you know, maybe a Andrew McCutcheon.
Oh,
I mean,
why
I mean, like,
you do this
well,
to me? Come on!
How big is Andrew McCutcheon? I'm more talking about the size
very
compared to anything. But funny story, he was telling me his favorite player of all time is King Griffey Jr. And I was like, aren't you 19? And he was like, yeah, I've seen a lot of highlights.
Right. Smart kid.
Yeah.
Smart kid, but I encourage everyone to purchase a subscription to The Athletic just so you could read about Khalil Lee.
By the way, there's a lot of, I mean, there's discounts at The Athletic all the time, but Bruce Feldman, a noted college football reporter, just joined to cover national college football, and there's a deal right now. You can get The Athletic for $2.99 a month for the whole year. So that I think it's like $36 for the year. So that gets you Chiefs, Royals, all the local coverage that's coming in Kansas City, Rain and Giserly, all those guys, plus all the national baseball stuff, whatever you want, but also all the, basically the entire site. So, it's not that much.
And then you can learn what a misplaced rib is.
Yes.
Well, I was going to say, Nate and I have it completely checked out, and we're both just diving into, okay, subluxation.
Do you remember the moment when they both stopped paying attention to the segment and just left us alone? Look, do you see that?
I'm reading an entire article about how the whole thing's a myth.
Do you understand that he's no good now for the rest of the day, even after the show?
Well,
that's all they're going to do is put as much time as possible into proving each other wrong.
It's a process rather than a condition.
So you've made a huge impact on the show.
I know a few chiropractors, and you know, don't insult their profession.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, Emilio John will have your ass.
Whoa.
Who's that?
So threatening.
He's a fine chiropractor.
Did he call in or something?
No.
My chiropractor is Dr. Brad Willits, and he makes me feel good. And that's all what life's about. Feel good, Kansas City. Take me off the air. Rustin Dodd, thank you so much for the time. Are you going out to the ballpark right now?
Yeah, I'm headed right out there.
Get the hell out there. That's Rustin Dodd from The Athletic. Get a subscription, and Rustin will be your friend right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.